It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Back to the all-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
Brennan McGuire, Derek Bidwell, and Colson Schultz. You love how I'm always putting the emphasis on the Schultz because I didn't. The T is not there, but it's supposed to be there. That's a whole other story.
That's how they would say it.
This segment is for Sherwood Co-op Liquor Store, now open in Harbor Landing, conveniently located right beside their food store. Last segment before the break, we chatted with Les Lazarick about tonight's game number 5, and we thought we would only be fair to bring the other team's broadcaster on too. James Gallo, the voice of the Moose Jaw Warriors, joins us on the Western Pizza Hotline. James, you're a pretty popular guy lately. Have there been a lot of people banging down your door to do interviews, get insight, get tickets?
Hey, are you saying I haven't been a popular guy in the past?
Well, with us, you have been, but I don't know about everybody else. You've been getting a lot of love lately.
Yeah, you know what? It's been nice, right? It's nice to feel like the most popular guy at the school dance. I don't think I was back in the day, but it's nice to feel it now.
Nice that it's all coming back. Have you ever seen a better series than this one? Like, honestly, I've watched all four games, and it's been back and forth, lots of lead changes. I can't think of a better series that I've seen in the Western Hockey League level. And like you, I follow the Warriors pretty closely.
Yeah, you know what? This in recent memory, for sure, in the downtown facility era, I would say this has probably been one of the best series that we've been able to see. I mean, I think it would be right up there with the second round series against the Swift Current Broncos in 17-18. I would probably, if in my time, toss in the second round series against the Calgary Hitmen in 2006. That went to 7 games, and that was an amazing series full of tons of emotion and drama. And, you know, with Troy Brower being hurt and then game one coming back in game 7. But this series has been great. It's been fantastic. I think, the players have upped their play. The coaches have been doing good adjustments, you know, between games and in games. And again, the real winners are the fans, because I think they're seeing some amazing hockey. You know what, Brendan, this is probably one of the best series we've seen in hockey in the last month, is it not, right? I mean, has there been an NHL series that rivals? Maybe now Boston and Toronto, but this one's been great.
Oh. Sorry, I think we lost Bidzy for a moment there. But I was just going to say, Toronto and Boston will be a great finish as long as the Leafs get upended. But no, you're right. I don't know that we've seen a better series than the one that we've been watching between Moose Jaw and Saskatoon. I can think of that Moose Jaw Raiders series a few years ago. It kind of came at a really awkward time when the terrible tragic bus accident happened, and it got overshadowed, rightfully so. But I thought that was a pretty good series, if there was ever going to be a series that ever rivaled this one. When we look at the matchup that happened in game 4, before I even turned it on, it was 3-0 Saskatoon. I was ready to give up on it, and then I looked again, it refreshed, and it was 3-2. Pretty entertaining to see all the lead changes, but also the ability for a team to get down and not buried, even though they're down by 2 or 3 goals.
Yeah, it's both teams, right? I mean, look at game 1, Moose Jaw erased a 2-goal deficit. Game 2, Saskatoon erased a 2-goal deficit. And then again, you know, game 4, the Warriors erased a 3-goal deficit, unfortunately losing in that game. But there's so much talent on the ice, right? And these guys are all confident in their skills, and all it takes is a bounce here and a bounce there for a team to get a little bit of momentum. And the other part, too, is that's junior hockey, right? That's probably the best way to put it. It is the mistakes that make this game at this level exciting, although it is the mistakes that turn coaches and broadcasters and fans gray, right? But it has been wild. You know, no lead is really safe in this series. That's what we've seen so far.
when I listen to Coach O'Leary talk, he seems like he's not enjoying the run-and-gun moments of this series. I made a comment to him on this program about how exciting it's been with all the lead changes, and he said, well, we'll try to work on that. Is this not the Warriors' style of play? Is this not their game plan to play this way?
You know what? I think it is a style that they can play. But I think when you play a run-and-gun style, it makes the Chiefs clench just a little bit more, right? You got to play with structure. That's the big thing. Saskatoon's they're such a well-structured team. Run-and-gun can lead to turnovers, and it leads to back-and-forth, it leads to odd-man rushes, it leads to structural breakdowns. And I think both, you know, Mark O'Leary and Brendan Sonny for Saskatoon would say they would like to see a little bit more structure. They would like to see the run-and-gun when they're benefiting from it, who wouldn't? But, I think run and gun is a style that Moose can play. But against Saskatoon, I don't know if it's the style that they want to play on a consistent basis.
I'm going to put you on the spot, just like we did Les Lazarek back in the first segment. And you are more than allowed to take the Fifth Amendment on this if you so choose. You'd have a little bit of familiarity, although probably not a ton, on the Western teams that are battling Portland and Prince George. Have you allowed your mind to wander ahead to who would be a better matchup for either the Warriors or the Blades out of those two squads?
Not one bit. You know what? You focus on the next game. I'm sure Les probably said the same thing. I mean, right now, the focal point for me and probably for the Warriors and the Blades, it's on game five. It's on tonight, and then you move to game six on Sunday afternoon. Not even worried about the Western Conference until the guy gets there.
James, it's Derek Bidwell here in Saskatoon. So I got a quick one for you, and this is about the fans, the communities with these two hockey teams, cheering them all along the way here. In Saskatoon, I know they're humming. In Moose Jaw, I've talked to my pals that are down there. Dave Reedy, quick shout out to Dave Reedy, former Saskatoon Hilltop, lives in Moose Jaw. Name drop there. I know that they're humming in Moose Jaw as well, too. Maybe just talk about how everybody's getting behind these teams. I hear here in Saskatoon for Game 5, they're a little over 10,000, encroaching on 11,000 right now. Should be another brilliant crowd, exciting atmosphere in Saskatoon between these two teams. I know it has been in Moose Jaw.
Yeah. I think, you know, the community, I think right from, you know, the start of the season, there's been a buzz about this team. And then obviously when they acquired Matthew Savoy, picked up there, and then you have an amazing West Coast trip, and it got to new heights. And then it's just kind of been building and building and building. The community of Moose Jaw has been fantastic. I think, you know, the support that they've shown for these players has been tremendous. I think the atmosphere that they've supplied at the Moose Jaw Event Center has been great. Their ability to travel to Brandon, to Swift Current, and to Saskatoon shows how much they love this team. And, you know, seeing how they engage, you know, with the organization on social media, it's all positive. And I just think it's tremendous. I think, again, like I said off the hop, I think, you know, this has been a great series. It's been a great series to be a part of and to call. But I think the real winners are the fans, because they're seeing some of the best hockey, I think, in the last year right now.
Have you ever done a game with a bigger crowd than what you'll have tonight, James, 11 to 12,000?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've called a couple of Teddy Bear Toss games in Calgary and in Edmonton. Actually, right before the pandemic, in Portland, they do an afternoon game on a Sunday, and they open up the blinds in the old glass palace, and it's filled to the brim. So it's pretty unique. So, yeah, no, I think it's great. I think it's great if they get to 10 or 11 here in Saskatoon. I think it's great atmosphere. You know, and I think that's good on the community of Saskatoon to come out and support that way.
Have you been seeing a lot of Warrior jerseys in the crowd in Saskatoon?
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. I think, you know, Warrior fans, they're all over the place. You know, it's just like they're alumni. I think there's more alumni probably in Saskatoon for the Warriors than there is in Moose Jaw. And, you know, talked to a lot of alumni that live here in Saskatoon. They're at the games and they're supporting. You know, it's great. I mean, Warrior fans are kind of everywhere, just like Blade fans, you know, coming everywhere down to Moose Jaw last week or early this week. So I think it's fantastic.
Both are really well-traveled, of course. James, I was just going to add in the Teddy Bear Toss game in Calgary. I lived in Calgary doing sports for 15 years, so I covered that a number of times. The best part about that one at the Saddledome, people sitting way up in the tips of the saddle, if you will, the design of the building, they're throwing teddy bears, but they can only throw them so far, right? Like, not everybody that brings a teddy bear is Jesse Barfield throwing from the top all the way down to the ice. So obviously, they got to throw it a certain distance, and then it lands on a whole bunch of people. And then all those teddy bears land, you know, they get thrown by the next group, and then they land. And then everybody, a whole bunch of people just right against the glass, just throw them over. Like, that type, that event is just a beauty, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really unique. You know, I've seen it a couple of times, actually. There was one year I had a 3-3 in Calgary. It went right near Edmonton, Calgary, and all three of them were teddy bear tosses. And it was like, you know, bigger and unbelievable. And it is truly amazing. The last time we were at a teddy bear toss was last season. The Warriors were finishing up a 13-day road trip, and the last game was a Sunday afternoon in Calgary after a grind of a game the night before in Red Deer. And that barn can be pretty intimidating. I think Edmonton's kind of the same way. They're picking up on their teddy bear tosses, and we've been there for those as well. Those events are really awesome.
Have you did Carnes ever tell you the story of what happened sometime in the 80s in, I think it was Game 7 of a playoff series between Swift and Moose Jaw, and apparently the Swift Current radio crew went to commercial and missed the goal in overtime of Game 7.
Oh,
Carnes
no.
used to tell that story during the Hot Stove Lounge all the time. Are you familiar with that one, James?
You know what? Carnes has told me a lot of stories. I don't know if I've heard that one, but I think I have. But that would be a tough pill to swallow.
That'd well, he always would promote, and I remember there would be a long stretch between playoff appearances sometimes for the Warriors. So when they're back in the playoffs, he would proudly repeat over and over, "We have a no commercial policy in overtime here on CHAB," and he would just go over and over. So I will ask you the question: do you have a no commercial policy if you get to overtime?
You know, we are spoiled now because we get the media timeout, right? So when you get to overtime, it's midway through, I do believe, is what they go to. So I will have I have had commercials in overtime. I've called a 3-overtime game, have taken commercials on that. And that's just because we get the media timeout now.
Right, and then they send out the people with the cannons, the shirt,
yeah,
and everything
exactly.
that they're shooting into the stands. Well,
yeah.
I'm glad that you are protected by that policy, and I used to love the fact that the refs would look up at us and wait for us to start the period, and I would kind of look around and think, I can't believe I have so much power as a broadcaster for them to look up at us and do that. So I hope you
we
carry
have no
that
more
sticker.
Power.
That's gone.
There's no more power. There's no more power. None whatsoever.
It was great while it lasted. Hey, good luck tonight and this weekend. We know it could go either way, but just enjoy the moment for whatever it is.
Awesome, guys. Really appreciate it, and have yourselves a nice weekend.
All right. That is James
Thanks,
Gallo.
Thanks, James.
The voice of the Moose Jaw Warriors has a lot of work ahead of him tonight, just like Les, who we had on earlier this segment. Time to take a break. When we come back, we'll have the Friday Blue Jay Report. You're listening to The Sports Cage on Rider Radio 620 CKRM.